Robert, how did you start getting involved in dealing with dreams and the dead?
Well, George, I've been dreaming of the dead. I mean, I'm using that term in quotes because they're living on the other side somewhere else since I was a kid. But the time in my life when this became mobilized in my mind as something I really had to help people with was when my father died in 1987. You know, there are watersheds in a life, and the death of a parent might be that watershed.
That could be.
When he died, he came back to me and to one of my daughters repeatedly, initially with messages of love and closure. The daughter he came to had never met him, for example, and she was thrilled and so comforted by meeting him and riding with him. They both loved horses in her dream. So there was that element of love and closure between two people who lived in different parts of the world and never met each other. In my case, he came to me with messages of the most practical and urgent guidance for the family. For example, he gave me a name that meant nothing to me, which turned out to be the name of the realtor who solved my mother's residential problems in the last stage of her life and found a comfortable living environment to her. So I had the experience at that time of, in this case, a departed parent coming again and again as a family helper and counselor in the most loving and beautiful way. And I thought, my goodness, one of the things that our mainstream Western culture is not teaching us is it's not weird, it's not unnatural, it's not strange, it's not impossible to have helpful and timely communication with our departed. It's actually going on all the time. At least our departed are trying to communicate with us all the time. We have to focus on this and see why it's happening and start working with it and use it as a key to healing and to doing better.
Why dreaming it as opposed to them visiting us in the spirit world as we are in the physical world?
Well, for a start, we are closed down a lot of the time in waking life. Of course we can have these encounters in an intuitive state. We don't really want to have them in the sense of ghost encounters. I was listening to the fascinating report from the law enforcement officer in Tennessee. Of course, that was a necessary episode of a woman detaching from her physical body to get a message out at a certain stage. But we don't really want to entertain ghostly phenomena in the sense of things running around that we can see in a physical form and having physical effects. That's the dense energy of the dead, which is lingering and assuming those effects because it's the way to get a message through to us when we are so materially and physically oriented we can't get the message any other way. To come back to your question, the reason why communication with the departed is most frequent and easiest in dreams is quite simply that in our dreams, our left brain inhibitions are down. You know, we're not guided by our left brain inhibitions anymore. We're simply there and doing it. And the departed appear to us in dreams and in intuitive states for basically three reasons. The first is that they're still around. They haven't moved on for good, bad, or mixed reasons. Maybe they're still around because they need another drink or another smoke. Maybe they're still around because they haven't detached from familiar environments or they have unfinished business. Maybe they're around because they think we need our help, whether that's the case or not. The second reason that dreams and intuitions of the departed are natural is they come calling, they come visiting. All the reasons we call on each other and then some. You know, they want to express love, they want to receive forgiveness, they want to give us an update, they want to know what we're doing, they want to play family angels when they're capable of it, all sorts of other reasons. They might need our help. Sometimes the dead need our guidance, George, because they're lost or stuck or confused. And finally, you see, what goes on in the dream state is we really get out there. We travel beyond our bodies in dreams, so we go to other realms of the real, including places where the departed live. We enter their realms and we visit them in their own realms, and this is the main source throughout human history of our knowledge of what follows death and our knowledge of the deeper reality.
Now, see, you talked about the fact that if they're dead, they haven't really moved on. What if they have moved on? Can you still dream of them? Can you still communicate with them?
Well, if they've moved on, in order to communicate with them, one of two things would have to happen. Either they come back, they come visiting, and they might do that because they have an important message.
Crossing over, right?
Yes, they might cross over back into our realm. And traditionally, of course, around a time like Halloween or Samhain, which as my Celtic ancestors would call it, around the Celtic New Year, which is now called Halloween because the church borrowed it, around the time of Samhain, it's a time when the doors are open and the departed are, in many traditional cultures, welcomed to come back and to talk to us at this particular and shivery and magical time of the year. But the other way that we can visit them when they moved on is we can travel into their realms. And we do this without even thinking about it in our dreams, although we often forget the dreams. We can learn to do it intentionally. I train people to travel as conscious dream travelers. And one of the places I invite them to go is to make a journey in consciousness to a realm where the departed are at home to have timely and helpful communication with the departed in their own reality and learn about the geography of the afterlife firsthand. This is the best preparation for death I can think of, and it gives us firsthand knowledge of multidimensional reality.
I have never remembered the moment I fall asleep. Have you?
Never remembered. Explain that to me a little bit more.
Well, right before you finally fall asleep, mm-hmm. whether you dream or not, have you ever remembered that moment? I don't. I don't remember the point that I fell asleep.
Well, I certainly have experiences like the one you're talking about. What I often do, however, is I start dreaming before I fall asleep, and I just follow the dream into successive states of dreaming, one courtyard after another into inner courtyards of dreaming, for example. And so I start out conscious. At a certain moment, I might forget that my body is in the bed and is that sense asleep. But it's possible to learn to be a conscious dreamer in the sense that you start out in a conscious dream state, you go deeper into it, eventually your body is asleep, your muscle groups are shut down. But in that sense, you do know the transition because, you know, there was a continuity of consciousness, if you see what I'm saying. You start out with imagery in your mind, you start out with something like a dream, you follow that deeper and deeper, your body eventually goes to sleep, then you surface from it. You'll remember only part of this, but with practice, it's possible to remember more and more.
But isn't the point that when you fall asleep, isn't it almost like dying in a strange way?
Falling asleep is like dying?
Yeah.
Well, it might be in the sense that your consciousness is going to leave your body and let your body rest for a while.
Right.
In that sense, it might be like a little death. And as a matter of fact, of course, we experience death in our dreams. Some people are nervous about dreams in which they die, but what the dreams in which we die teach us is that life consciousness survives death.